everybody, and welcome to another episode of Shifting Gears Podcast. I am your host, Justin LaRoque. I am the marketing manager here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings, and this podcast is presented by Spectrum Automotive Holdings. I'm really excited, as always, for today's guest and the topic that we're going to get into. But if you're new, just want to take a moment, whether you're watching this here on YouTube, smash the like button, or if you're just listening to this on one of our social platforms, want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Again, if you're not familiar with this podcast, it's all about automotive, anything and everything that ties into dealerships. We've talked in the past about reinsurance, women in automotive, how to prepare for the inventory returns, and so many more topics. So whether you have been in the industry for years and years, or if you're brand new to the industry, there is something for everybody on this podcast. So in today's podcast, we are going to be talking about the topic of how to create a learning culture within your organization. So in order to do that, we brought on an expert, because as I like to always clarify, I am not the expert when it comes to automotive and the topics that we've been discussing. But that's why I like to bring on the experts who do know a thing or two about some of these topics. And so I'm really excited for today's guest, because it is Angela Davis. She is the Director of National Training here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings. So I'm really excited to welcome Angela. So Angela, how's it going?
I am fantastic. It's Friday, Justin. It's got to be one of our favorite days of the week, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking some time to be here today. And I'm excited to go through some of the topics that we have set for today and get your thoughts and input.
I am excited to have this conversation and share it with everyone. Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity, Justin.
Of course, of course. And I'm sure while this is the first time you're on, it will not be the last time that you're a guest here on the Shifting Gears podcast. So before we get into the details, and as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, our topic is kind of how to create a learning culture within your organization. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you, you're new or newer to Spectrum Automotive, the Spectrum Automotive family. So welcome to the Spectrum Automotive Holdings family. Glad that you're here for this. And why don't you tell the folks a little bit about your experiences before coming on board with Spectrum?
Absolutely. I am new, and thank you for the welcome. It's been a warm welcome from all of the places that I have been visiting, but I think that we're always a collection of our past experiences. And I've held roles such as a national sales trainer, a sales manager, and sales consultant. So I feel like I've completed that whole circle within that, which has been really fun, because it gives me a unique perspective to see things from all different angles in the sales world. And I got my start in automotive just a few, let's just say, short years ago. And that was beginning with automotive sales. And then I got the offer to become a trainer. And honestly, when my boss at the time approached me with the concept of becoming a trainer, I thought that he was really making a really wrong decision. I thought, I don't know this well enough to train other people just yet. But they sent me to training to become certified, and it really became a passion from there. So within automotive, I've really done F&I. I've helped train every role within a dealership, from sales consultants to service advisors to controllers, just every single aspect. And I've also held training roles at Aflac, Allegion, and then now, thank you to Mike Nagast, our amazing recruiter, here I am.
That is awesome. And yeah, shout out to Mike Nagast. He was on the podcast here not too long ago either. So that's great. It sounds like, yeah, you have a wealth of knowledge. You've been in a lot of different places, bringing a lot of knowledge to the table. And as you mentioned, with all different types of roles, especially within dealerships, it's good to know that you've worked with individuals like that, because as you know, this is a lot of our audience that is listening right now fall under that category of whether they own the dealership or they're just starting out at a dealership and they're, you know, maybe in sales or kicking it off in F&I. Or so, you know, we're talking to a kind of a vast majority of people here, but it's good to know that you kind of cover the board with everything. So I'm excited to see what you have to, you know, again, bring to the table with for Spectrum Automotive now that you're aboard. And I do want to get into a little bit more those details a little bit later on what you have planned coming up here. But let's dive into the actual the topic today, which again, as I mentioned, how to create a learning culture within the organization. So learning culture, that was not a term that I had I had brought up initially. And that's something that you had told me about. So could you elaborate first just a little bit on learning cultures? Like, how do you define that? Or what is that exactly? And you know, what does the environment look like?
Sure. A learning culture to me is just one that places high priority on offering a true development path for their team members. And it's built on a solid foundation of well-defined expectations and then ensuring that you give everyone those training and resources that it takes to deliver that superior performance. It's really an environment that doesn't have learning events, but rather a cycle of learning. And what I mean by that is I heard this saying a long time ago, and it was, training is a lot like showering. You have to do it every day or you start to stink.
So, I love that.
Because the competitive landscape is pretty intense, it just makes sense to focus on continually creating a better version of yourself every day. I think sometimes we hear that word training, or maybe someone tells us that we're going to go to training, and we have this concept that, oh, maybe I'm not performing enough. That's absolutely not the case sometimes. It's very much a, hey, I am already performing really well, and I just want to make sure that I'm maintaining that level of performance. So, you know, we're all at different levels. So that's one of those things that I think is so incredibly important from the time that you start to recruiting people until the time that you bring them in. And then whether they're, you know, 5 days of experience or 5 years of experience or 15 years of experience, everyone can participate in that learning culture.
Yeah, that is great. And just like showering, I hope everybody is doing getting themselves involved with training on a regular basis as well. I really like the idea of applying that. And so, it, you know, you mentioned that it's an ongoing process, right? It's something that doesn't just happen one time, or as I, you know, I've always been told, there's always room for improvement, right? For whatever it is that you're doing. So yeah, I really like that. How can like dealerships or companies get their people more on board with this type of culture that you're talking about?
Well, Justin, to me, that's one of the most important questions for anyone starting training to ever ask themselves. And it's got to start with leadership. If they don't talk the talk and walk the walk, you can just take that match out and start burning those dollars that they invested in training. Mm-hmm. Leadership needs to be speaking the exact same language that sales does. So how do you do that? Well, number one is starting out by attending the training together. That way you're ensuring that you are speaking that as a leader. And how could you possibly be able to coach as a leader if you yourself haven't learned that exact language? Which brings me to number two, and that's learn how to effectively coach. There is a reason why Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Tom Brady, whomever your favorite, you know, top of the sports game person is, they are multi-million dollar players. And guess what? They all still practice every single day. They practice more than they play. And they also still want to have a coach. That's about perspective. It's about having that 360 degree view of their performance at all times and looking at those tiny little elements that can, again, continue to make them better. And then number three is make it fun and always focus on what is in that for those learners.
Those are some great tips. And I think, especially the idea of having fun with it. You want to build that environment, right? Of making sure that your people are all in this together and enjoying themselves while they're learning. And great points about the sports the sports references, because it's so true. Even like comedians or anything like that, you know, as they take the stage, it's the idea that this is not their first time doing it, and it certainly is not their last. And there are hours and hours and hours put behind what you're seeing on stage, essentially, or what you're seeing on the field, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how can you position a training program to help attract and retain employees? Like, how does that kind of tie into helping out the companies?
It is a lot of work, but first, it's really about understanding what you have at stake. So according to ATD, which is the Association for Talent and Development, it's a very, very large organization, their statistic is that 40% of employees leave their job in the very first year if they don't receive the necessary training to perform. That's a pretty astounding statistic. So next, it's about ensuring that you have an alignment of training with your recruiting program. Make sure recruiters or HR personnel know that there is a defined process for training. When you can demonstrate to a potential employee that you really have a true defined plan for their development versus the managers that, well, may or may not have time to train, maybe they're doing it in between before and after, they're doing everything else, that is a huge contrast to a potential candidate that is looking at making a commitment to you. What kind of commitment are you making to them? It makes a huge impression upon qualified candidates, and they'll see that you're serious about their development if you have that.
Sure. No, it's a great point. I mean, the idea of just having a plan, it could come off looking very sloppy if, you know, you're kind of just winging it, right? And I know, I'm sure there's companies out there that kind of do that. But yeah.
And you think about winging it, to your point, that you'll probably get results that they'll just wing it. And right. So you'll see a very inconsistent performance happen. And then all of a sudden that employee is gone, because I don't believe that anyone ever raises their hand and goes to work and says, hey, I'd like to fail at this job. Instead, they want to succeed, but they need your help and your commitment to a true plan for development. It's just that important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, just with like, you know, the many people who might be looking for a job, I know that that's something that someone would want to look for and seeing, hey, does this company actually like care about me enough to want me to educate myself even more and be better? So just from all aspects, this is a great point to, again, if you're a company out there or a dealership out there who is looking or considering, you know, setting yourself up for having a plan to have a training course or program, these are some things that you want to consider for sure. Now, we, as you know, we've, you know, come out of this pandemic for the most part over the past 2 years. It's been a very different world that we've been in, and hopefully continuing to get better and better. But during this time, many people, you know, they turn to Zoom calls and, you know, video conference calls and training and things like that in the virtual side of it. Is there a way to training virtually can be as effective as training in person? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, goodness. I absolutely love having the opportunity to talk about this one. It's huge. I myself have been to one too many trainings or even meetings that were just someone talking. Justin, I'm sure you've been to that same thing, right?
Yep. Yep.
It's incredibly boring. It's like, come on, training is only effective if we get people to listen. So engagement is really key. And a few ways that I've learned to increase engagement over the past couple of years are, you know, A, open strong. Have something, whether it's a story, maybe it's something funny that, you know, can relate to what you're going to talk about and make it relatable and ties into your objective. There are so many different techniques that you can use there. And then next is have attendees do something. Get them involved throughout the call. You don't want them just being out there multitasking. If you can have some questions or you're specifically calling on people, then they learn that, oh, I'm being called on. I really do have to pay attention to
what's going
on. Yeah. Yes, be ready. And then whether that's sharing best practices or it's using technology, such as within Microsoft Teams, you can do breakout rooms and have people go into smaller groups. And maybe you're trying to get ideas, you know, break people up and give them those topics and then kind of bring them back together. You can do that the same as you would in an actual room, right? And it's so much more important than just, again, having people kind of zone out during that, you know, use those chats, ask them to pop in, you know, hey, what do you think of this topic? Let's see that chat message fly. Those are just kind of different things. And then even just varying your tone and inflection when you're talking to someone. If I am just talking in the same voice for the whole entire time, it gets really boring. I do crazy things like, okay, let's talk about this. And I clap my hands, or I've been known to use a few props, like, I don't know, police sirens occasionally.
I love it.
little props. Got to have a little theatrical element in there, yeah. Again, which is my last point. Again, make it fun. And whether that's using a program, even like Kahoot, if you've got a group of really competitive people, let them bring out that competitive side and have a little fun. I love even ending meetings or sometimes even beginning meetings and asking people to submit just a little gift that says, describe your last sales call or describe, you know, your day in just one thing or one word sometimes. And it's amazing how those little techniques can bring people together and create this energy, which is what truly makes people engaged and listening and therefore makes the meeting effective.
Those are great, great points. And I have definitely been in my fair share of dry, you know, types of trainings and talks and things like that. So those are great ways to kind of, you know, get people's attention. And I've definitely used that tactic of even just putting a question out there to someone once in a while, because the rest of the room's like, okay, he may call on me next. You know, let me make sure I'm paying attention. But I love the idea of breaking up into the rooms, you know, making it, again, going back to your the idea of just having fun and making sure that everybody's engaged in that sense and that it's interesting stuff. You're having fun. You have props. You know, I love the sirens that you're talking about and things like that. So great ideas all around. So going back to the learning culture that we've been talking about here, from an employee standpoint, why should they embrace this idea as they're entering, you know, this culture from their dealership or company or wherever it is that they're working?
Oh my goodness. How long do we have in this podcast, Justin? Because I have a lot of reasons.
I love it.
First, if we want to help our companies win, which means that it's a win-win situation, right? Because if we're joining that team, then if the company wins, we win. So we have to really ensure that our performance is superior today and in the future. So just because we may be outpacing a competitor today doesn't mean that we can guarantee that for tomorrow. And I think we've seen a lot of those cases over the years where companies have failed because they didn't keep pace. And then those actual employees are obviously out that job. So it takes everyone to make that success come together. So to me, that's kind of, you know, one of those aspects. And then second, do you feel more confident when you know how to do your job well? I think most people would say yes to that. And then when you are more confident, does it relieve your stress? And I think for most people, the answer to that again is absolutely yes. And then finally, if you want to seek out various promotions and you're kind of that person and you're just waiting on the bench for that next position to come available, it's most of us need those skills that our employer has designated as important. So have those conversations with your managers. What do I need to work on? Be that coach. Give me that 360-degree perspective. And then give me that path to be able to do it. And a learning culture does that. They should easily know how to access that training and that they really see those benefits from it. And you think about, you know, all the things that we've learned in our past and how those things create success for us going forward, however, you know, however individuals define their success.
Sure. No, and that is fantastic. There are a lot of different benefits, as you're mentioning here, to why they should really embrace this learning culture here. We had Mike Cintron on not too long ago. He's a partner of Vanguard Dealer Services. And he had mentioned that too, just the idea of, you know, he was talking about getting familiar with your products and how as you get more and more familiar with your products in he was referring to the F&I and sales, how much more confident you would be at actually going about the job that you're being paid to do, and how important that is to just, even when you feel like you know it all, there's always something new to pick up. You know, so just to add on to your points here, definitely something that I try to strive for in everything that I'm doing, including, you know, this interview, these podcasts, you know, coming up with questions and things like that. I like to go over, you know, and put in that extra effort. So, embracing this culture, definitely encourage everybody to, if your dealership or your company has some sort of, you know, learning platform or program, to definitely look more into that. So Angela, those are the majority of questions that I had for you here today, although I do have one more before we kind of close things out. Given your experience, how do you determine whether to facilitate a training live, virtually, or on demand? And is there an option that you think works best?
I usually flip a coin for that, Justin. Just kidding.
Love it.
A lot of things have changed so much in this space, obviously, given the pandemic. I think that it fueled progress really in this arena, because before we were so used to just doing everything live. And now we've realized that we can do so many things virtually and be just as effective. So for Spectrum, most of the curriculum that I'm designing will be in a live virtual format initially, meaning our attendees will have the opportunity to attend a virtual course with me live. And then those sessions get recorded for anyone that might miss a session or even when a new employee joins. And I would say for anyone in dealerships or, you know, out there, consider what it is that you're trying to get done. And if it's one of those check the box, you know, it's an HR onboarding, it's a compliance issue. If you've got remote employees, then those types of things are really good to deliver in a virtual format. If you want to go on the spectrum of, okay, I want to assess skills, those are definitely when I still think that in person is absolutely your way to go. But, you know, there's a lot of software out there that is really changing the game, even with that. So, you know, I think virtual is my first choice, actually, nowadays. It's amazing how that has changed over the last couple of years. But because of what we're able to do, it saves so much time and obviously expenses on companies. And we know that salespeople and just any employee really are so incredibly busy that being able to offer that with the absence of the travel time is the preferred method nowadays.
Yeah, those are some great points. I mean, just the convenience overall, right? With, as you mentioned, like not having to get hotel rooms and paid trips if you're sending someone across the country or, you know, the travel and all that other stuff, much more easier to set something up virtually. And as you mentioned earlier in this podcast, there are clearly ways that you can be engaging and really captivate your audience as the trainer, you know, virtually and still be able to pull all that off virtually. So that ties in nicely for sure. Cool. Well, there you go. For anybody listening, I hope you're enjoying this this topic here, how to create a learning culture with your organization. Again, I'm talking with Angela Davis, the Director of National Training here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings. Angela, before I let you go, where can people find you? Are you on social media?
I absolutely am. LinkedIn's probably the easiest, and it's Angela Davis under Spectrum Automotive Holdings.
Perfect. Perfect. And I will make sure to put that link in the description below for anyone watching this, whether it's on our website or on our YouTube channel, for you to connect. So, Angela, I can't thank you enough. Really appreciate your time again, just being on here. And it is, like I said before, your first, but it won't be your last. I look forward to having many more conversations, much like this one with you.
Thank you so much, Justin. I'm looking forward to it also. And until I see you next time, you know, take care and be safe.
Thanks so much, Angela. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
And there you have it, folks. Another awesome episode in the books here at Shifting Gears Podcast. Again, want to thank Angela Davis for joining me here today as we discuss how to create a learning culture within your organization. I hope that brought some value to our listeners. So appreciate everybody who's been taking the time to listen to these podcasts. And again, just want to remind everyone that we are on all the different social media platforms. So you can find us over on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and even YouTube. Make sure you're following us over there for the latest updates from Spectrum Automotive Holdings, as well as these podcast episodes. If you're looking to get in touch with me, Justin LaRoque, you can find me over on LinkedIn as well. I'll put my information in the description below. But otherwise, that is it for today. So until next time, I will catch you on the next episode.